All right, hey guys.
You are live on the Arms Room with John and Dave. Glenn is out of town for the second half of his gender reassignment surgery.
Yep.
Yeah. He was pleased with how the first half went, so he decided to go ahead and finish it off.
Yeah. He found a specialist that's out of state, so he had to, you know.
Yeah, he had to travel again. So
we're happy that he's finally going to get it finished off.
Yeah, we're happy that he will be a whole messed up person instead of just a partially messed up person, as he has been, as you all know. So anywho, moving on with the show. Good for Glenn. Let's all give Glenn a round of applause. How was your weekend, Dave?
It was fantastic. A lot of good family time. I was telling you before, I just did a nice little hike back behind the house. Nice. Threw 20 pounds, extra pounds in the back. Something light, but I had that and water. So yeah. It was nice. And my 8-year-old niece did the same hike.
Nice.
So it was all free hiking. It was awesome. It was so much fun. How about you?
Fantastic. Took the family up to Flagstaff. We took off late Friday evening, spent the night, and then Saturday we went and did a couple of little trails around Flagstaff. Total of about 5 miles. A couple of trails we hadn't done before. We get up there, I don't know, every couple of months and hike some trails.
Heck yeah.
But we did one. It was pretty, not a long trail, a little over 2.5 miles total, but it was a lot of ups and a lot of down.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids did really well on that. And then we did another one up at Snow Bowl. And even going from Flagstaff proper up to Snow Bowl where we were hiking, at, I think that altitude was 92 or 9,300 feet.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And we did a couple of miles on the Kachina Trail up there.
Yeah.
But my little one lost his mind at the end. We were at a turnaround point because of the time of day it was and the speed at which you hike with small children, which is deathly slow. Yeah. It's like the baton death march of speed. Not that people are dying or anything, but
even though they act like they're dying.
Yeah, even though kids will literally, you wouldn't know it, but they act absolutely like they're gonna die. So my wife ended up carrying the little one, and me and the older kid were hiking a little bit ahead and talking and having a good time. So it was good. Yesterday we spent the day cleaning house.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what Sunday is in the Penix household. It's
chore day.
Yep, reset and do all the grocery shopping and get everything ready for the upcoming week.
All right.
So, all right. Sweet. Remember, everyone deployed. We do still have troops, and it's that time of year. Mm-hmm. There's guys that are deployed that won't get anything from their family. So if you're involved with an organization or you know of a soldier that's deployed that doesn't have a lot of family or anything, shoot me an email at info@redwiregear.com or info@trainingaz.com.
Yep.
And we'll try to get some stuff out for Christmas. We missed Thanksgiving by a long shot. So, but get something to us this week if you know of somebody. Maybe we can get them some swag or some good socks. If you're going to send care packages to troops or you're going to buy extra products, because a lot of stores right now are doing stuff for the troops where if you buy something like, hey, buy this to support the troops and, you know, kind of be careful of what you're buying because there's certain things the troops don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Having been a troop overseas and received some of these packages, there's things that we just don't care about. There's things that we do care about, you know, as we've talked about before. Good socks, baby wipes, some basic toiletry stuff, good reading material, things like that. Nobody cares about hunting DVDs for the most part.
Yeah.
I won't say who that is, but there's a large chain that does that, and nobody cares. Those end up in a shredder or a trash can, or we take them to the range and blow them up. So stuff that guys can use, new video games, you know.
Yeah.
I know we had an Xbox. I mean, EOD guys, we travel a little bit differently than everyone else, but you know, maybe the new Call of Duty or whatever the new hotness is, maybe a copy of that, something like that. So
cool.
That's it for that. You want to update the patrons on the Patreon issues?
So our patrons, oh my headphones are messing up. Oh. Anyways, our patrons, we are canceling the 30-minute show officially. We just had low views, low interaction. And those of you that were involved in interacting and working with us through it, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah, so we're getting rid of it, but we're not getting rid of extra content. I did put a post on Patreon about extra content. So if you have an idea of what you want for extra content, let us know. I have been approached by some patrons, and I appreciate that. We are discussing all the possibilities amongst all of us, so we will come up with some ideas. But if you have a thought on what you would like to see for extra content, whether it's a write-up, videos, what have you, show types, yeah, let us know, and we'll do it.
Yeah, because that's kind of why we went to Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon. Jesus. Patreon. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So we went to Patreon to get the listeners involved.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get onto the topic today, Glenn probably was waiting for his surgery, was cruising his phone like he often does, looking at news and stuff. And he sent us this sad, but enlightening story. I guess sad is the right word. Tragic?
Tragic.
Tragic, is a more accurate word. So a guy, I'm not going to read names because I don't really care. But a guy in Jackson, Michigan, shot and killed two teenagers for breaking into his truck.
Yep.
Let that sink in for a minute. I'll say it again. Shot and killed two teenagers for breaking into his truck.
And not immediately while they were breaking in. They were actually running away.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I didn't read the story. I did the highlight.
The highlights,
Highlight reel.
Yeah. He shot one in the back, and then the other one, while he was fleeing, managed to hit him in the head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, essentially, this guy murdered some kids that took some stuff out of his truck.
Yep.
Understand, we are all about the Second Amendment here. I can't think of a group of people more about it than we are that I know. But understand where you live. Understand the laws and use of lethal deadly force. Mm-hmm. Understand that. Know it. This guy did not. This guy is going to spend the rest of his short life in prison for murder.
Yep.
Because his ego got in the way of rational decision making.
Yep.
That's essentially what happened. He got mad. He's like, there's no way they're going to take my stuff and get away with it. I'm going to shoot them.
Yep.
Sweet. Good job, buddy. Now you get to spend the rest of your life in prison.
And he had a very short amount of time to decide whether or not he was going to do it. You should definitely know ahead of time what is required for you to use that lethal force.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to try to make that decision when lives are on the line.
You don't want to be looking at your,
reading
the law. You're like, okay, so if they do this and that, okay. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Hold on, guys.
Stop. I need to find out if I can legally kill you or not.
Yeah, hold on. Let me search the Googles real fast.
Yeah. So, understand, man. Take a class from somebody. Talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Talk to a local cop. Talk to a judge if you know a judge. But understand how lethal force is applied in your jurisdiction. And look at case law. You know, it may cost you a little bit, but hit up a local defense attorney. Or not a defense attorney, but a local prosecutor and a defense attorney, actually.
Yeah.
And get some briefings from them on, hey, you know, in these scenarios, what's happened? You know, what were the circumstances? And you'll get some generic information. They're going to tell you names and stuff, but you'll get generic information about cases and how they went in the courtroom or how they were pled out, because a lot of stuff like that, it doesn't actually make it into the courtroom. So there you go. Understand lethal force in your jurisdiction. If you don't, take a class, gain some knowledge. Of all the things that people can take away from you, knowledge is not one of them. The only thing that can take knowledge away from you is your brain failing you at an old age.
Yeah.
And then all of your information will go away and it will be sad.
And keep in mind, this guy was like he was a law-abiding citizen for the most part. I had no previous records of anything. This is the only thing that...
Yeah, he's getting 19 to 40 years.
Yeah, two counts of second-degree murder.
Yep, so...
Yep.
Yeah, understand it. Know it, live it. Learn it.
Yeah.
Cheers. All right. So, any other news? Any other thing? No. Oh, we have to talk about this retarded Democrat that the social medias have been all abuzz about lately.
Yeah.
He is proposing taking rifles from the entire population, semi-automatic rifles, or in the terms of the retards. And I say that generically, not specifically. No one get upset about that. I understand that if you have a learning disability, that's okay, or other condition. I'm not making fun of you. So this guy is ignorant, but he is proposing with $15 billion of taxpayer money to forcefully take semi-automatic rifles from all Americans.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, well, hey, man, if you do that, you're going to start a war.
Yeah.
And his immediate reply was, well, it'll be a short war because the U.S. has nukes. We have too many of them, but they're legit. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you not understand what he just said? The dude literally just threatened to start Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Like, there's an entire generation of people whose wet dream that has been since they were like 8 years old. I can't tell you how many times. Like, I see a suspicious airplane flying near my house, and I'm like, ooh, today's the day.
I finally
get to kill me some Russian paratroopers. But instead of Russian paratroopers, it's going to be... He's basically going to start a civil war if he nukes somebody in the U.S. I mean, all hell will break loose. Now, hopefully this was just an ego and a dumb thing, because most politicians, even though they have lots of education, aren't very intelligent.
Yeah.
So...
he doesn't learn things, though.
Solwell, right? Representative Solwell. Get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got for you. Get your head out of your ass. Don't pick a fight you can't win. And just move on with your life, man. Forget about it. You're not ever going to take guns from us. You're not going to get guns from the American public. It's not going to happen. It's steeped in our culture since the beginning of our culture, right? Like, it's constitutionally guaranteed that we have these things. So... move on. Find something else. All right. Now, for the Red Wire Gear moment brought to you by me at redwiregear.com. today's moment's a little bit different. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I know that's not until Thursday, but we won't see you guys again until after. So everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't go shopping on Thanksgiving, for God's sakes. Please. Yeah. I'm not doing anything. I will put up one post on my social media for that day, and it'll be in the morning, and then I will be totally black until Friday when I decide to get out of bed and get over my hangover and start my Black Friday sales and Cyber Monday and Gray Weekend, whatever all that crap is, right? But I will start running sales Black Friday morning. If you don't follow me on Instagram, make sure you follow me on Instagram, because there'll be some Instagram-specific flash sale stuff going on. If you want to be on our mailing list, because I'll be sending out quite a few emails with deals and stuff. So if you want to be on our email list, and I normally don't send out a lot of stuff once a month, hit me up at info@redwiregear.com or direct message me on Facebook or Instagram. Just need name and email address, and I'll add you to our email list. New website coming soon. I'm really excited about that. Finally, it's not going to look like a piece of garbage like our current website does. new website, that'll probably drop Black Friday morning. I'll get it live that morning. So, new website, once that's up and running, you guys hit it up. Let us know what you think. Other than that, I got nothing else. So, all right. What are we talking about today, Dave? I have no idea.
We're talking about a realistic bug out bag.
Okay. So
not end of the world, you know, Red Dawn, Russian paratroopers.
Like, I don't plan on bugging out if the paratroopers come. I'm staying at home. Yeah.
So an emergency evacuation bag.
Let's go with that. A realistic evacuation bag.
Yeah.
So... and this is directly relatable to what's happening in the state of California, which, by the way, is burning to the ground, if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
The terrible tragedy. There's a lot of reasons that it's happening. We can get into the politics of that, but we probably won't, or we shouldn't.
Or even the more natural, like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's been happening. We just built on it.
You get less forest fires when you properly maintain your forests by cutting down trees and cleaning up underbrush and things like that. The fires that happen are more manageable if you take care of your forest the right way and don't let your forest get overgrown. But anyhow, so California is burning to the ground. We live in Arizona. There's certain parts of the state where wildfires are a huge and imminent threat during fire season.
Yep.
The first step, you know, is your realistic preparations for things like that. So, if you live in an area that's prone to forest fire, or there's a danger of forest fire, wildfire, we'll call them wildfires, make sure you have your proper defensible space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure your neighbors have their proper defensible space. And yeah, I mean, that's any you know,
yeah,
that's, that's really it.
We could do a whole show on preparing for something like that. Like,
and we did a whole show.
Yeah. So like clearing underbrush from around your house, yeah, trimming trees, doing what you need to make sure your house is safer. But this is if you have to evacuate because you can't stay there any longer.
Yeah.
Whether your house has been compromised or it's going,
the fire's just too close, or and it may not even be a fire issue. It could be earthquakes. It could anything that's realistic to you. Mm-hmm. Massive power outages.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, there's even in California right now, or in the aftermath of the hurricanes.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at massive power outages. Maybe your house is completely level. None of your stuff's there. You need to be able to have the things you need to start over, essentially, if you have to. In the aftermath of some type of natural disaster. I'm not talking about zombies. I'm not talking about Russian paratroopers, none of that. We're talking about real things that can actually happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you have to decide is or figure out is where you're going to go. You know, are you going to go? Are you going to end up in a shelter? Are you going to family? Mm-hmm. Do you have another place you can go? Like, do you have a second home or a vacation home? Are you going to be staying in a hotel? Like, figure out and start making a plan of where you're going to go. And then once you get that figured out, have a general idea of how long you plan to be there, because both of those things will depend on how you pack your evacuation bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like for me, if I had to evacuate my home, my primary plan would be to go to my in-laws' house,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that totally changes how I would pack this up.
Yeah.
Right. If I knew I were going to end up in a shelter, there's a few things I would take that I wouldn't take if I were going to my in-laws' house and vice versa. If I were going to a hotel, not a whole lot would change. I'd basically just pack like I'm going on a trip.
Yep.
Which is essentially the idea. You can't really see it, so I'll put it up here. So this is a heavy, super basic, and we're going to go through everything that's in here. This is my normal travel bag. I use this bag when I go to drill. I can get 4 or 5 days worth of stuff in here if I pack it right, just for traveling stuff. There's some things in here that I wouldn't have in here otherwise. So there you go.
Yeah. And no, I think route is a big plan too. Like, I would love to go to my in-law's house if stuff happened, but I would have to shoot all the way across Phoenix. And during a natural disaster, shooting across a major city would be awful.
That would be pretty terrible.
So I have family and contacts down south.
Yeah.
So I would choose to go that way because I can at least avoid traffic. So keep that in mind too, is if you're not already in the Metroplex, trying to go through it is going to be chaos.
Yeah. So, or if you're in my particular situation where there's one way, that's it. There's one way.
Yeah.
Main road. Now there are other ways I could get to my in-law's house, and my truck, 98% certain, would get me there. It would just be a little bit harder, take me a little bit longer to make it happen. But I do have a general idea of what those routes are like, and they're fairly well traveled.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't be too bad. The other thing you have to plan for, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, so I've got a wife and I've got kids. Thankfully, my wife's pretty badass and pretty squared away. So I don't have to worry too much about her preparation. She can handle those on her own. My kids, on the other hand, dude, I can't get my kids out the door to go stay in a hotel room to go hiking without much pain and time and concentration and gnashing and wailing.
Yeah.
You know, wailing and gnashing of teeth. So if you've got kids or you have extended family that lives with you, say you've got sick grandma that's staying with you for a while because she had a surgery or something like that, you know, you have to plan accordingly for those people as well. So for my kids each have their own little hiking backpack, you know, and carries their little bladder, and they both collect rocks and sticks everywhere we go. So I come back with a bundle of firewood every time I go hiking, unless I'm in the desert, and I come back with a new rock garden. But make sure you plan appropriately for your kids and know what they're capable of. So my oldest son can fairly easily do, I'd say, 5 or 6 miles in a day of walking and hiking and carrying his own backpack. He'll piss and moan about it a little bit because that's what 7-year-old kids do. They piss and moan about things.
Mm-hmm.
My little kid, though, my youngest son, he's good for 2 or 3 miles. And then he kind of gets distracted. He kind of gets tired because of his stubby little legs. So, and I say stubby because he's tiny. He's a tiny little dude. But, you know, plan appropriately for your family. Plan appropriately for your kids. The big thing with kids is entertainment stuff. I know a lot of times in today's day, we rely a lot on electronics for our kids sometimes, like in the truck or on long road trips or things like that. We rely a lot on phones and iPads and, you know, stuff like that. So plan appropriately, have some extra batteries, have a way to recharge them if that's what you're going to do. Or just tell your kids to read a book, get them some Legos. Something I did for my kids last year at Christmas is I bought little seahorse cases. Mm-hmm. Like the same size that the IFAX
come in. Oh, okay, yeah.
I think maybe one size bigger. Like I think it's the vehicle fac. The vehicle one.
The 320s or
whatever. Yeah. Anyhow, there's a snail over there that said this was boring because we're focusing on the wrong part of the story. So I bought them each their own little seahorse case, and then I bought some flat, the big green Lego boards, and I cut them to fit in there. And then they've got a little mesh bag, a little mesh zipper bag, so they can fill it up with Legos, put it in their box, close their box. And then when they're in the truck or the car or on a bus or on an airplane or whatever, they can pop it open.
Yeah.
Boom. And they've got Legos right there contained.
That's awesome.
You can build little things and play with their little Lego dudes. And, you know, so have a way to entertain your kids if you're going to be leaving your home. Because anybody that has kids, once you get your kids out of their comfortable and familiar environment, kids kind of lose their shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not used to doing things like that. Kids are very schedule centric for mm-hmm. the most part. It's been my experience with my kids and other kids that I know is they're very much fans of their personal routines. And if their routines get messed up,
yeah.
Oof, buddy, hang on for the ride. Cause sometimes it gets rough.
And that was something, it kind of adds into a thought I had is even introducing them to it beforehand.
Yeah.
So that's not the first time that happened. So introducing the Legos beforehand, like, hey, no, we're not doing electronics or we're not doing anything else. Just play with this. So then when it happens, it's not this weird, like, what do you mean I can't use my electronics?
I can't have my iPad.
Yeah.
Oh, tears and hatred and fighting.
Yeah. If that's going to happen, let it happen in a controlled environment.
Yeah, let that happen on a Saturday afternoon while you're out trying to go shopping or you're driving up to Flagstaff or Sedona for a day trip or something like that. You know, so have a plan for your kids. Extended family, there's a plethora of things you may have to plan for there. Wheelchair access, canes, crutches, broken legs, just whatever. Mm-hmm. Medical care in general could be difficult if you have like an elderly in-law that lives with you or something to that flavor. So the big thing is make sure you have an appropriate plan. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck on trying to get to this is they're not real sure how it's all supposed to work out.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a plan.
Yeah. So I had a situation that I just thought of when I was back in Texas. We had a giant tornado shoot through a city that I worked in. So we lost all power to a point where our ambulance was basically blocked off from access to anybody. We were walking on foot.
Oh, my God, dude. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. But we had a neighborhood that is notoriously known for having elderly people that require medical aid. So most of them are bedbound with at-home help.
Yeah.
So their houses get hit. So not only finding them, but the problem is relocating them. They have hospital beds. They have prescribed stuff. They can't move. Some of them are required to have like a lift assist machine or they're on ventilators that require electricity to run. So if you have a situation like that, you can even ask the at-home help or the people that come set it up. Like, if I needed to leave, how can I get this? How can I make it leave? Because some of the machines, they have backup power where they go, will last 72 hours with no power source.
Yeah.
But if you don't know or haven't figured out how, call the care providers, call whoever, and ask how, if I needed to leave in an emergency, how could I get all this equipment or how could I do that? A lot of them, we've worked through it. We kind of have an idea of how to get that transported, whether it's even a contract type service with an ambulance. But keep in mind, they're probably going to be busy with other people. Mm-hmm. So ask, how can I do this myself? That was a big thing. And most of those people, believe it or not, didn't think about it. They didn't think like, oh, I'm going to ever have to leave. Granted, I don't think a tornado had ever ran through that town. Like, ever.
Well, nobody ever thinks about
that. Yeah. Like, so they didn't think about it, and it happened, and we were stuck trying to figure out how to solve the problem. Dude, so we were tied up all over. Yeah. So if you have stuff like that, whether it's elderly or younger children, even if they're sick in that case, see if you can figure out the plan and learn it ahead of time. It's like anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. So planning.
Yeah.
More planning.
Plan.
Yeah. Have a plan.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to go through this bag here. So now that we've kind of gotten the idea of what we need to think about, things we need to consider. I personally do not keep a go bag or evacuation bag packed.
Right.
Most of the time. There's things I carry in my backpack that supplement what's in here. So there's things that I'll talk about that aren't in this bag, but they're in my backpack because my backpack always goes with me. If you're looking at going to a shelter, which is kind of the idea that I packed this bag based on, because there's a myriad of situations that I could find myself in. But if I was looking at going to a shelter or to my in-law's house or something like that, these are kind of the basic things that I would take, more specifically for like a shelter type scenario, because maybe the entire state's on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and all that's available is the high school gymnasium or whatever. So that's how I packed this bag. We'll go through it real quick, and then I'll kind of explain everything as we go. For those of you listening live or watching live, there's a few. If you got questions, feel free to ask. So here we go. This bag, it's just a general duffel bag. This one's a Condor specifically because it's a good solid bag. It's got backpack straps. There's a shoulder strap that goes on it that I don't know where it's at. Who knows? My kids probably have it in their treehouse using it as a belt or a sling or who knows. So we'll just start right here because this is kind of convenient. So in here, I have a small fixed blade knife. This is a little Tops. I think it's the Badger. Anyhow, just a little fixed blade knife. You're never going to be sad that you had an extra fixed blade knife in any type of survival scenario, situation, bug out, whatever.
Fixed blade is kind of important too. There's a reason we prefer a fixed blade as a secondary backup compared to like a spring assist or a pocket knife or whatever.
So like I always carry this little Benchmade, but there's things that this, even though the blade is smaller on this knife, there's things that this knife will do that this one won't. I don't think I would attempt to baton firewood.
No.
Or, I don't know, any other number of scenarios. There's things that I would not try to do with this knife. This is primarily a letter opener and a string cutter in my life.
Box opener.
Yeah. That's what my pocket knife does.
Yeah.
So.
But you have failure points with pocket knives that.
Oh, yeah. Folding knives have tons of failure points, depending on how well they're made. And, you know, that's a topic for a whole other show. I have a spare lighter. I have spare lighters everywhere in my life. There's spare lighters in my truck. There's spare lighters in my backpack. I tossed an extra one in here. Just once again, you're never going to be sad if you have to go somewhere and you happen to have a spare cigarette lighter or some type of fire source. In here also, the modern man's pocket knife. When I was a kid, everybody carried one knife or two. There were two knives that every man I knew carried.
Mm-hmm.
He had the little three-blade old-timer.
Yeah.
Or the whatever brand it was. Mm-hmm. You know, had the long blade, the shorter blade, and then the even shorter blade.
Yeah.
Primarily used for opening mail, opening boxes, and cleaning dirt from out from under your fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody had the big folding buck knife and the leather pouch.
Yeah. I still have that.
I know I have one at my house. I have somewhere. I have my great grandfather's little old timer pocket knife.
Yeah, I love those pocket knives.
And he used to sharpen it on a whetstone, so the blade, instead of being like that size, it's like 3/4 the size it used to be because he spent so much time sharpening it. So, but here, it's a basic Gerber multi tool. I have a dozen or so of these floating around my house for different purposes. There's usually one in my truck. There's usually one in my backpack. But you're never going to be sad if you have a multi-tool. A million uses. This pocket we have. So we have this folder. Oh, okay. We're going to adjust the camera real quick, so kind of bear with us so we can... Oh, there we go, Dave.
Better?
A little bit more? Just a little bit. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I have this generic yellow folder, all right? In this folder, I have a list of things that should be in this folder. I wasn't going to bring these actual things with me. So this is something to really think about if you're leaving your home and you think you're going to be gone for an extended period of time and that your home is just going to be decimated and you're not sure what the condition of your home is going to be when you return. So hard copies, and we'll get to digital backups too, but we'll start with hard copies. And you should have these all in one place that are easy to grab. So in one of the safes in my home, there are three folders, and in those three folders are all of these documents. So you've got your birth certificates, you, your wife, your kids, whatever. Social security cards, same thing, you, your wife, your kids, anybody else that's living with you, if they have those things and you have them in there. Your marriage license. A lot of people don't think about their marriage license. They're like, oh, I'm married.
Yeah.
Well, if the world burns to the ground, there's no record of you being married.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of important. Vehicle titles. Mm-hmm. Also kind of a big deal. If you can't prove it was yours when it burned down, you may just be shit out of luck.
Yeah.
Land deeds. Mm-hmm. Like if you have the deed to land. So like my home, I don't know if I have the deed to my house or not. Now that I think about it, I do have the deed to all of my land, though, because I have a couple of pieces of land here and there.
Yeah.
And then like other important documents. So wills, powers of attorney. Trying to think of anything else. Copies of your insurance policy, your homeowner's insurance policy, your vehicle insurance policies. If you have those and you want to print those out, not a bad idea to have them. So that way you kind of have a better idea of what is and isn't covered.
Yeah.
Something else. Well, I digress for a moment. We'll back up to our plan. Make sure when you get your homeowner's insurance and your vehicle insurance, make sure you have the appropriate levels of insurance for things that could happen in your area.
Yeah.
Like flood insurance. A lot of people don't think about flood insurance here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Well, during the monsoons, shit floods.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen often. I can't think of anybody I know personally whose home was flooded during a monsoon. Mm-hmm. But I do know a couple of years ago, there were a whole bunch of people stuck on the I-10.
Yeah.
Floating under a bridge, and their vehicles got flooded.
Yeah.
So check your insurance policies. Talk to your insurance agent. See what you can do to make the appropriate plans for things like that. So that's what this folder would be. Just a generic folder. And you can use whatever kind of folder you want. This is just one that I had laying around, so I grabbed it. So folder full of important documents. Boom. In here, I also happen to have... Now, this thing is empty right now, but it's one of the little like safes that you cable lock under your seat or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, as always, big fan of carrying my gun, especially if I'm going somewhere and I'm going to be around a bunch of people that I don't know in a scenario that I'm not real comfortable with. There is a possibility that in those situations, you may not be able to carry your gun on your person.
Yeah.
Right? For whatever reason, any number of reasons. Maybe it's just inconvenient. Maybe there's rules against it, whatever. So have a little lockbox and stick my pistol in here and stick a spare mag in here. I have the keys. I don't have the keys here. It's all still at the house. I just kind of tossed this in there. You can also put other things in here, put some cash in here, which we'll kind of get to a little bit more here in a minute. So have a safe, have a way to secure your firearms if you carry one or other things that you want to secure in here. So little safe fits right there in the end of that pocket. Now we get to the good stuff.
Good stuff.
The rest of the stuff.
You could also carry maybe multiple or a bigger safe if you have your hard documents and you're staying in a huge public space.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole scenario here and the whole idea is you have to be able to scale it to your life. What you're willing to carry, what you're willing to leave behind. Like, there's other stuff that I would grab because I have giant Pelican cases and stuff. If I were leaving in my vehicle... There's stuff that I would throw in Pelican boxes and then just load them up in my truck.
Yeah.
So is the volume still good there,
Dave? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're good.
All right. So this bag, what have I got in this pocket? I don't think this one's got anything in it. Nope, that one's empty. So we'll go around here to this other side pocket and toss some stuff in here. So one of these, pretty handy. It's like the little lockable banker's bag.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things that I would feel comfortable. So, like, if you had a thumb drive or a hard drive or something, you could drop them in here, lock them up. Locks keep honest people honest.
Yeah.
I mean, this is made out of nylon. I could open this with a pair of scissors.
But
locks keep honest people honest. So these are good. These are a good thing to have. Also, it's a good idea to keep cash on hand.
Yes.
I'd say if you have the ability to do it, no less than $100 in fives, tens, and some ones.
Yeah.
If you're going to go above $100, throw in, I'd say $300 to $500. You want some 20s and then tens, fives, and ones, you know, because the system may be down. Your debit card may be useless. I always carry cash because I've been to Circle K. I've stopped at Circle K in the morning on my way here to grab a Monster and a pack of smokes or whatever. And they're like, oh, our debit system's down. And there's people that are like, I can't buy anything. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
What's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, no worries. I got folding money.
Yeah.
That's what old-timers used to call it. Folding money. And then I have an extra little bag here. These are from Kafaru. I was introduced to these little bags about a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 4 sets of these things. You'll see some more in a minute when I open the bag up. They're great. In the Marine Corps, we had a little bag in boot camp. It's called a ditty bag.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, when you were getting undressed because you were told to, medications. We're actually going to get to that in just a couple of minutes when I get into here a little bit more. This is where you would put your things when you were going to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So like at home, when I take my pants off, all of my things generally stay in my pants.
Right.
But if I were somewhere in a shelter, I would open up my little bag, I would empty my pockets into my little bag, I would close my bag, and it would go next to me either under my pillow or under my blanket, but it would be right there so that my wallet, my keys, my cell phone, all of my things were handy, readily available to me. And if someone steals my pants in the middle of the night, which, let's be honest, after reading some stories about Katrina and the Thunderdome. Was it the Thunderdome? Not the Thunderdome. Anyhow.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
There was some weird shit happening there with the groups of people that were there. So it's always a good idea to have a little bag to put your personal items in at night. And then a notepad.
Yeah.
Always have a notepad. This one's a write in the rain pad. I love write in the rain pads. There's a ton of different versions, a ton of different sizes. So go with a notepad. You're never going to be sad that you had one. Write down names of people. Write down times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're at a briefing, you can, oh, okay, cool. Instead of trying to remember it, you can take it out. Okay, so quiet hours in here from whatever time to whatever time. Mm-hmm. They're going to serve meals at this time and this time.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a fresh water delivery coming in at X time. You know, things like that.
Don't rely on your phone for notes, because it's even little things. When they get that big, they segment into regions. Like if you live in this region, this is a representative you need to talk to, and you go, okay, here's how to get a hold of them. Here's where they're at, and write down that information. Having a notepad is never a bad idea.
Yep. And this one fits conveniently in a pocket.
My pocket.
So I would recommend a pocket size. I wouldn't go anything bigger just because it may at some point become cumbersome.
Yeah.
All right, so now we'll get to the inside of the bag here. So on the inside of this bag, there's a couple of zippered pockets here. Ooh, I found a penny.
Ooh.
Now I'm rich.
Rich.
We'll set that aside. We'll get to that in a minute. A couple of zippered pockets you can stick some random stuff in. Little TSA locks. So like at night, and the bag you choose, make sure you have a way to lock the bag shut. Because once again, locks keep honest people honest. It's a nylon bag. Pocket knife, pair of scissors, determined guy with a good bite strength will get into your bag if they really want to. But, you know, you can lock it up and you can get one for each set of the zippers or however you want to do it, as paranoid as you want to be or prepared or whatever as you want to call it. But have a couple of little TSA locks. I also have one of my backup hard drives for my laptop. This one's got a bunch of movies and other stuff on it, so I've got some entertainment. If there's electricity, if not, whatever.
Tough luck.
Yeah. Little camping pillow. This is a Walmart one that one of my boys wanted, so we bought it.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're in a shelter, there may or may not be enough linen for everybody.
Absolutely.
You may or may not have enough pillows. I'm super picky about pillows and how I sleep. I'm kind of a weirdo with pillows, so always carry a little pillow.
Yeah, keep in mind, that's why people do all these, like, blanket drives and whatever for these shelters, because they run out of stuff.
Yeah, they run out of stuff constantly. Yeah. Laying in the top of this is also my Riker Nylon AFAC. Yes, it is an ankle first aid kit. I rarely wear it. I don't even like wearing long socks. Mm-hmm. They're great kits. I use them all the time. There's one in my wife's car. This one stays, and this is my primary out of my everyday carry backpack. So it's always on me. It's always with me. Have a way to handle trauma stuff.
Yes.
Also have a way to handle boo-boo stuff, but separate as usual. Mm-hmm. You know, same but different. So little trauma kit. Plus, if I needed to in certain situations, I could strip the med kit stuff out of there. I could stick my wallet in there.
Yep.
And stick my keys in there, my pocket knife, my cell phone. And then that way I've got an easy way to keep track of all of those things again.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Small sleeping bag. You don't need a giant, like, 40-pound flannel sleeping bag. Spend a little bit of money. Get a good quality small bag. This one's the Jungle Bag from Snug Pack.
I love that thing.
I love Snug Pack sleeping bags because Snug Pack makes really good square foot sleeping bags mm-hmm. that zip all the way open into full-size blankets.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's $60-$80.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's under $100, but this is their Jungle Bag. It's got a built-in mosquito net.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be an issue depending mm-hmm. on where you're at, depending on your scenario. So good little sleeping bag. Once again, linens, you know, linens run out. People run out of stuff. Laundry soap, little pods of laundry soap.
Yeah.
These things are freaking indispensable. I've used them in field environments and I travel with these all the time, regardless where, if I go to a hotel, I take these with me
because
mm-hmm. I'm super picky about my laundry detergent, too. I'm kind of a weirdo, if you guys hadn't already figured that out by this point in our relationship. A laundry bag of some type. This is a dry bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put my dirty, smelly crap in here and seal it up. Nobody else has to smell it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stink up the inside of my bag if I need to move. And if I throw one of those pods and some water in here, I can do laundry in here. So I can wash my clothes. Dun, dun, what? Dun. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
This is also outdoor products available at Walmart. I think they're like $10. I have 3 or 4 of these things yeah. floating around. I travel with them all the time. Here we go.
And get this stuff as soon as you can. Because if you've done anything, like if you go out right now and try to buy certain food, like what did we try to get? Apple cider. We did a big thing this last weekend with some friends, and so we tried to make some apple cider. It's out. So that's going to be exactly how it is even in these big events. So like if you've ever gone holiday shopping and you know things are out, it's impossible to get. So it's even like the little items.
Pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving morning because you're an idiot and you forgot.
Yeah.
You have to go to 7 different Walmarts in 14 different states.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
So try to get this stuff, even the Walmart stuff, try to get it ahead of time.
Yeah, and if you do any type of camping or hiking or stuff like that, these are things you probably already have or have been thinking about buying anyway. Power strip, just in case there's electricity there, mm-hmm. Because generally speaking, there's not enough outlets for everybody.
Right.
You can use, this could be a bartering tool.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to charge your phone. Hey, I really like the look of those Clif bars you've got there. You know, so power strip, something I tend to travel with, even hotels and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that's in here is stuff that I normally travel with when mm-hmm. I'm traveling in general. So this wasn't that difficult. Towel and washcloth. You got to keep your smelly self clean.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not access to showers and stuff, swap that out. Baby wipes. There's a bunch of different types of wipes. Baby wipes are okay. You get tired of baby wipes after a while. There's some different brands out there that are better. They clean better. They smell better.
Yeah.
You don't smell like a baby. So hygiene stuff. And something that I'm willing to bet 98% of people have never even thought about. Mm-hmm. Pair of shower shoes.
Yeah.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. These are shower shoes.
Yep.
These are not flip-flops. These are not wear-to-the-mall shoes. These are for taking showers in public places.
Yep.
Because I don't want your foot funk and you don't want my foot funk. Shower shoes. Available at Walmart, Old Navy, whatever. Generally speaking, you can get them for less than $3 a set.
Mm-hmm.
These are a little bit higher quality, so they'll last a little bit longer. Spend $5 on a decent pair of flip-flops mm-hmm. or shower shoes so that you're not sharing foot funk with everybody. Then I have my hygiene bag. in one of my wilderness, my little mini wilderness duffels.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most durable small hygiene kits I've ever had.
Yes.
I'm not going to open this up and go through it, but basic toiletries, soap, shampoo, toothbrush,
yep,
toothpaste, things like that. And then we had someone mention medications.
Yep.
So if you have medications, if you have hard medications, they're a little bit easier to deal with. You just grab your meds and put them in your kit.
Yep.
Right? Take all of it. If you have a month's supply, take a month's supply.
Yes.
You know, that's generally like with the VA, because I get my meds through the VA. I have a couple of prescriptions that I'm on. They'll send me a 90-day supply at a time. And about halfway through that 90 days, I'll go ahead and get my next resupply.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've run out of meds because of military training obligations and stuff like that, where I'm like, oh, crap, I totally forgot to order those. So keep as much of your medication on hand as is allowed or that your doctor will let you have or that you can afford to have. For other medications, so I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, actually. He hit me up. He's like, hey, man. He's like, what do you keep in your go bag? And I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting question. He's like, I got to talk about this tomorrow. And I kind of sent him a list of basic stuff based on what I know about his scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked me a very specific question that I really didn't have an answer for. Maybe you can speak to this a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
But his wife is on glucose and insulin.
Okay.
And those have to be kept refrigerated to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking the best way to store those long term. And my recommendation was, well, one, keep as much of it on hand as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And two, have a dedicated cooler and ice packs that you only use for that, so that if you have to go somewhere, you grab those things and you put them there, and they are staged appropriately, which we're going to kind of, we're going to move into the staging thing in a few minutes. We're almost actually done with this part.
So yeah.
Anything else to add to that?
So low tech, get a decent cooler. Spend the time on, it doesn't obviously have to be big, but spend the money on a decent cooler and decent cooling packs. High tech, you can get one of those fridges that we talked about on the Overland.
Yeah, buddy.
So that would be ideal, but even given the circumstance, if you can't live out of your vehicle or what have you, low tech, I would say, just a cooler, that's the best you can do. And even carrying extra cold packs. So if that goes out, then you can at least make it last longer. It's not gonna last forever, but it'll last longer. And another thing to think about with your medications too, overpacking your meds will help even after the event, because all those pharmacies, all those doctors, everybody's going to be trying to catch up for all the people that didn't think about it. Yeah. And now they're trying to place these orders, and who knows as far as shipments when they can get in. If you overpack, then you at least know you can go a little bit longer because you have all your medications.
And understand, so I have members in my family that are on anti-rejection meds.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that if those meds aren't taken, there's a real chance of death.
Yeah.
Like, planning your medications is a big deal and part of your planning and preparations for yourself, your kids, and extended family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something to really think about. All right. Next, I've got more Kefaru bags. These things are great because I can keep my stuff super organized. I don't like, I know some people, like when my wife packs things, everything just goes in the bag. And she's like, hey, can you grab this out of there? And I'm like, no.
No.
She's like, why not? I'm like, I don't know where it's at. I'm not going to go digging through there. So I've got a couple of shirts, just like T-shirts, and then like a pair of PT shorts in this bag. And they come in a variety of sizes. They're big, small, super small. Socks and underwear. For God's sakes, take clean clothes with you if you're leaving your house for any amount of time whatsoever. 45 degrees, it's about $300 a mile.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, insulin and stuff's not cheap. Sorry, bear with me here for a minute and catch up on this. Yeah, too warm and it will degrade.
Yeah.
So, you know the limitations of stuff like that too. If you're on these meds or you have someone in your family that's on these meds, understand how to store them, how long they'll last, and things like that.
And this is the time to think about it. That's the whole reason we're bringing it up, is think about it now and see what you can do. And a lot of the times I know a lot of the guys, so fixed wing transport, with medications, they have to be able to, it was like 96 hours. They have to be able to maintain their medications that require temperature control just in case a plane goes down or whatever. So they have to maintain it so that the medications are still good. But they have onboard systems. If you can figure out how to talk to them, I just happen to know working in the field.
Yeah.
But even talking to a doctor, like, hey, you know, how do I keep it cold? But know that stuff now so that you're not trying to figure it out while things are happening, because that's going to be tough.
Yeah. 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 So you're already going to have 10,000 other things on your mind.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff I'm not going to pull out of here. There's a jacket, small, lightweight jacket. It's got a hood. An extra like long sleeve shirt similar to this, and then an extra pair of pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the basics of what I would pack if I were going to leave my house and I weren't sure how long I was going to be gone. You know, there's enough stuff here. I could get through a week or so with what mm-hmm. I have here, with the ability to wash my clothes, which is a big deal because after a certain point, you just start to become demoralized by putting on the same pair of socks for 5 straight days.
Yeah.
Ask me how I know sometime. I'll tell you a funny story that's not super funny. It's actually really sad and gross. But, yeah, the ability to have fresh socks, fresh underwear, clean clothes, just in general clean clothes, can really change things a lot for you.
Yeah.
Plan appropriately for kids. So if you're going to be gone for 3 days with your kids, take 6 days worth of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I went hiking with my son for one day. His pants looked like he had spent a week in an auto mechanic shop rolling around in their grease pits doing oil changes. And dude, we're in the mountains. Where There's no water. Them? How do you have oil stains on your pants? Come on, man. And then if you have kids in diapers, make sure you have an appropriate amount yep. of diapers. Take twice as much as you think you're going to need, because you're probably going to end up needing them, or someone else is going to need them, and you being a good Samaritan and an intelligent person can barter mm-hmm. things away.
And if you want to use the reusable ones because you're like, oh, that'll work better, having a laundry system would be a really good uh-huh. idea, because if you don't have a way to clean them, then they're not reusable.
No. Ooh, weird.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So,
all right. So
notice how all the stuff too. I want to point out, none of this stuff looks like it's crazy top secret, like he's prepared for the end of the world. It's knowing what you're going to. John's idea of where his evacuation is, like, I'm going to go to a shelter. Like, yeah. Be realistic where you're going. You're not going to go, like, I'm going to go to my bunker. If you have a bunker, cool, but make sure your bunker has all the stuff you need yeah, for it.
And make sure you can access your bunker
yeah,
if
yeah.
whatever's happening is happening.
But be realistic to what you're taking. None of that stuff, it's not high speed, cool, and sexy, but it makes sense. Everybody should be able to do this. Even if you don't have all the little bags, you have a suitcase.
Ziploc cool. bags, man. 1-gallon yeah. Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest inventions ever in yeah. my mind.
Yeah.
Because you can use them to do laundry. Yeah. You can store dirty, stinky clothes in them. You can use them for a ton of things, man.
That's the only other thing I would add on top of that is a bunch of Ziploc bags. I always carry
I have Ziploc. Trash bags in here.
Yeah.
I have some like 13-gallon, 4-mil bags, not yeah. the normal bags, but there's some. I stuck them in one of these pockets and I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
But I do have trash bags. Oh, and one more thing that I will pull out. 2 things that I will pull out of here. A book.
Yeah.
Something to entertain yourself with. If you haven't read and you're interested at all in the Muslim culture, and I won't get on my rant about this, but if you're interested at all in the Muslim culture, this is a great book. It is a partial fiction, partial nonfiction okay. book written by a Swedish lady that went and stayed with a family in Afghanistan for a while. But she was a journalist and she kind of stayed with them. So it was a pretty interesting, or no, that's not this book. I'm sorry. I lied to you. This is a different book.
Aha, gotcha.
The one I'm talking about is called The Bookseller of Kabul. Not just Kabul, but it's The Bookseller of Kabul. It's a good book, kind of explains the family dynamic and the actual yeah. legitimate culture, not the bullshit culture that you see from all of the radicalized shenanigans that are going on all over the world.
The media, weird.
The media, or just in general.
Yeah.
So get a good book. A book that you can read a couple of times over.
Yeah.
You know, because it may be a while. So a book. And then I also have this little packable day pack.
Yeah.
Just kind of threw it in there. This one happens to be a RE Factor one, one of their little E&E or sensitive site exploitation bags. But it's handy to have.
Once again, it could be a bartering tool, or maybe you need to go and get some things, but you're going to have to walk a little way, so you need to carry a couple of things with you, and you don't have to take all of this with you, or they're rations at X point, so you have to go over there and grab your rations, and you need a way to effectively carry them back without showing the world. So some type of small little packable backpack or duffel bag or something like that's always kind of handy. Staging. So we'll probably go over a little bit today, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Staging. Like I said in the beginning of this, I don't keep one of these bags packed. I just don't, because it's not a large enough priority in my life and the way my life works. I understand the threats that are possible to happen at my house for scenarios where I may have to go. But my home is very organized and I know where all of these things are staged. So like this bag stays mostly packed 90% of the time because this is my primary travel bag. So there are things that stay here and this bag stays in one place unless it's with me on a trip. And that is true of everything that's on this table. I know exactly where all of these things are. So I packed this bag last night in less than 20 minutes. And that included dealing with getting my children to bed, right? So realistically speaking, you're going to have time. You're going to know. Hey, there's a big wildfire going on in Prescott Valley, Cordis Junction area, Dewey, Humboldt area, right? Mm-hmm. And they know it's moving south. Okay, cool. Well, between me and them is the Bradshaw Mountains. Mm-hmm. So that's going to slow it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to know. You know, and then when I see it peeking over the Bradshaws, I mean, maybe I should start putting this bag together. Maybe I should start gathering the things for my kids, because the wildfire is not going to be on top of me like that.
Right.
Unless there's just, and if it's that bad, well, it's that bad.
Yeah.
You know, if I see it peak, if I see it crest the mountain and then my house is on fire, God said no more for you.
Yeah.
This is where your bloodline ends. Yeah. The show is over. Thanks for playing. So, but have an idea, pay attention, you know, watch the news, check the weather, pay attention to the things that are going on in your community.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to have this packed all the time. It's not necessary, but know where all of the things are that you would take. You know, like I said, with all of my documents and stuff, they're all in one place and one safe, right? So I can go to that safe, put in my little combo, pull my things out and they go in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for my kids, man. I know where my kids' hiking bags are. They generally play with their Lego boxes all the time, even though I got them specifically for traveling. They play those things. They have Legos in them all the time.
Because they're cool.
They are pretty cool.
Yeah.
So keep everything, you know, neat and organized and know where your things are. And every so often, just kind of see how quick you can get a bag together.
Yeah.
You know, this was kind of an exercise in that for me. It's like, how quick could I put a 3-day bag together?
Mm-hmm.
It took me less than 20 minutes. So I'd say I'm in pretty good shape. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that, Dave?
No, I think we hit it pretty good. It's all about just the preparation mindset. Doesn't have to be the extreme prepper that you think of, like the show. I think that TV show and that whole mentality just killed it. Because
a little bit.
It's realistic. There are things that can happen, especially with the fires. I know somebody personally who she got lucky because family knew about the fire, but it was late at night. She was in the LA area and she went to bed because she was like, I got work in the morning.
Yeah.
As far as it seems to be under control for somewhat, it's not really near me. Mm-hmm. She went to bed. She got woken up at 10 o'clock. They had tried to evacuate the area. On the news, they said, we're evacuating this area. If you live on this street, we're evacuating. She's asleep. She doesn't have the news on.
Yeah.
So basically family blew up her phone until she finally answered it, and they're like, hey, you need to evacuate. And she said when she came out, literally nobody was on our street. She was the only one there.
Jesus.
So it's realistic. It can happen to her, and she was in a metro area where she didn't think it would happen. And then for her, that was a realization point when she's like, crap. Like, I was scrambling to try to get stuff together because she had no idea where anything was. It was just scattered throughout the house. I don't know. Just ignore it. Don't break it. But she was scrambling all over the house because she didn't know where stuff was. So even if you don't have it set up, TP.
I have toilet paper.
That's in my vehicle. That's a good one.
Yeah, I have toilet paper everywhere.
Yeah.
I kind of live by the Glenn Stilson method of toilet paper. You peasants can wipe your tails with your hands at the end of times, I will have toilet paper.
Yeah. So, but yeah, anyways, even if you don't keep it prep, keep your living space as organized as possible. I understand people can't have the perfect living conditions.
No, God, no.
But keep it as organized as possible. So if you do need to grab it, if you had to rush out of the house, get things ready, like having a place where you put all your keys, your wallets, and all that stuff. So if you need to rush out, you can just grab it. You know where it's at. You're not going, oh, crap.
I know where all of my things are. Yeah. My wife, on the other hand, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But it just kind of gives an idea. We understand that not everybody's going to be super prepped and ready for everything, doing drills every day, doing that. No, you don't have to be prepared. But it's like anything we teach with firearms, anything we teach with medicine, understanding that it can happen will help you get ready for when and if it happens.
Yeah.
Because it may this may never happen to you, but if it's a high chance, if you decide, like, I want to go live on the beaches on the South Coast, like, okay, there's a chance that a bunch of water might hit you at some point.
Yeah, so yeah, happens regularly.
Yeah, might want to be ready for that. If you live in Tornado Valley and you're not thinking that a tornado might hit, you should probably start thinking about it.
Kind of a thing, and that's why it's called Tornado Alley.
Yeah, and you look at, to give Californians some credit, when you talk about earthquake preparation, they're pretty on top of it because it happens so often. They know what they're doing. They're like, yep, here's what happens. Even on the response side, I remember when I worked out there, we heard about a tornado or an earthquake happening. We were on standby. When it happened, we went and patrolled neighborhoods to check, make sure power was good, everything else was good. So they're on top of it, but then they didn't think about the next step, which they should have, because they're on a huge fire line. And they've known about it, and they're like, "Let's build on top about it." But anyways, we're gonna go. That's something I could dive way too deep into.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, make it realistic to your life, and then involve people. It's like anything else. Make sure you know, like,
especially the people that you live with.
Yeah,
whether they're friends or family, make sure that they understand these things. Make sure that they know these things. Make sure that you guys are on the same wavelength. Yeah.
And even if you're planning on going to a family member's house, say, like, hey, if I have a wildfire in my area, can I come down to your house to seek refuge? And they're like, yeah, cool. So you're not just like, hey we're guys. Here. Meanwhile, they said yes to five other people that came down, and now you have this full house. At least give them an idea of what's going on. So anyways, that's all.
Sweet. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening later. Remember, you can't always bring Independence Training out to train with you. Yes. You can get hosting information. It's easy to host us. Basically, all we need is a classroom and or a range facility of some type.
Yes.
You know, and then a certain amount of students.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want info about that, email info@trainingaz.com and get you all the info you need. Make sure to follow all of us, the Arms Room, Independence Training, Redwire Gear. We're all on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah.
We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. They also have Facebook, Instagram. I'm not sure if Heroes Media has YouTube or not.
I don't know.
But proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Great network. Tons of shows. All kinds of topics. Any and everything, basically, under the sun. So there's that. And then next week, ooh, this will be a good one. We're going to be talking about what to put in a group-sized med kit.
Yeah.
So I'll let you give out Glenn's...
His extra. Yeah, that's
called an extra.
All right. Until then, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arm Room.
Yeah.